Well, good evening, everybody. I'll go ahead and call the meeting of the City of Goleta Planning Commission to order. It's Monday, May 8th. And first, we will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and next we will have a roll call of the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Here.
Commissioner Chapman?
Here.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Here.
Chair Smith?
Here.
And Commissioner Miller is absent.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have the public forum. This is a time in our meeting where any member of the public can speak on an item of interest, but that's not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any requests for public comment this evening?
I do not have any speaker slips. And before we begin with public comment, for the record, Commissioner Chapman, could you please just confirm that you have posted the agenda for tonight's meeting on the door to the room that you're going to be in?
Yep. Yeah, I have the agenda posted, and the building is accessible to the public.
Perfect. Thank you. And are there any members of the public in the room with you now?
No, not currently.
Okay, thank you. I do not have any speaker slips, but if any members of the public wish to speak during public forum, please raise your hand on the Zoom webinar and I'll call on you. And I do not have any public speakers at this time.
Okay, thank you. So we'll go ahead and close public forum and we'll move to the next item. Do we have any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Good evening, Chair. We do not have any amendments to the agenda. Just want to point out that I'm Lisa Prosti. I'm the current planning manager, and I am sitting in for Director Imhoff tonight.
Great. Thank you for being here. Let's see. We will move on then to our next item, agenda item A, our discussion and action items. Will the clerk go ahead and read this next item for the record?
That is item A1, general plan conformance finding for the capital improvement program fiscal year 2023 to 2024.
Wonderful. And I believe we have a staff presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Smith. My name is Andy Newkirk. I'm a senior planner in advanced planning. I'm sitting in for Ann Wells tonight as she is out sick. So the presentation tonight will be by myself and Teresa Lopes, who's a senior project engineer in the Public Works Department. Before we get into that, I also want to acknowledge that Nina Buelna is in the audience. She's the Assistant Public Works Director. And I also want to acknowledge that staff had assistance from Molly Cunningham on this, who's an advanced planning intern. So getting into the item before you tonight, this is a general plan conformance finding for the capital improvement program projects fiscal year 2023-2024. This is something that comes before the Planning Commission every year prior to our budget discussion and our capital improvement program presentation to City Council. It is required of it within the state planning law, government code section 65401, that the planning agency for the local government review the capital improvement program projects for conformity with the general plan. So that is the item before you tonight. The Capital Improvement Program, or CIP, as we often refer to it, is a budgeting and strategic planning tool to assess the infrastructure needs of the community. And this is really with an eye towards build out in the general plan, that we have the adequate facilities to support our population and the needs of our community. So prior to or in preparation for this meeting, staff reviewed the fiscal 2023-2024 list of projects and found them to be in conformance with the general plan. And what we are asking of the Planning Commission tonight is making that similar finding through the resolution, which is attached to the staff report as attachment one. That's the resolution for which we're recommending action on. And we'll note that the list of projects and the most relevant policies and figures from the general plan are in a table format as Exhibit 1 to that resolution for your reference. I want to note that this is, when we say staff review, this is a really a group effort. It's always done with planning and primarily Public Works. They do the bulk of the CIPs, but as you'll see in the presentation, CIPs cover several different departments, including neighborhood services and general services now. So it isn't just one group, but Public Works is certainly the lead on that, and that's why they're our collaborator on this item. And so the CIP list is focused on the next, that list of projects that'll be active in the next fiscal year, which lines up with the budget, and it's consistent with the annual work plan and the 2023-2024 five-year CIP budget, which is obviously a longer range document. And just want to emphasize that the scope of this analysis for this requirement under 65401 and what you're being asked to do is just those general plan policies and is inherently at a fairly high level, kind of the nitty-gritty analysis of consistency on certain really discrete policies. That's done as the project gets designed and engineered as it moves forward. So this is somewhat of a high-level consistency analysis, not like what you would see for an individual project, like if you see a development project before you. It doesn't get into that fine grain. But with that, I will hand it over to, I should also note that we have also the Public Works Director in the audience, Charlie Ebling. So we have kind of the brain trust of Public Works with you tonight. But with that, I will pass it off to Teresa Lopes, who will give kind of some highlights of some of the projects in different phases and give you also an overview of kind of what it means to be in the different phases of a Public Works or Capital Improvement Program project.
Good evening, Commissioners. Before we get into the projects, I'd like to talk a little bit about our CIP project delivery process. So when we're discussing a project phase, we'll use this terminology to define where a particular project is in the project delivery process. And it starts out, projects start out with conceptual design. This is the earliest phase, and during this phase of the project, we establish the scope for the project, we look at feasibility, project alternatives, and potential impacts and constraints. Following that, the project will go into the environmental review phase, and it's during this phase that we develop the environmental studies for a particular project, and then also prepare the environmental document, which is typically a CEQA document, or if there's federal funding involved, it would be a NEPA document as well. And the next phase is design, and this is where the bulk of the work takes place. In the design phase, we tie down the specifics for a project and determine the project details, and it's also during this phase if we require right-of-way, that right-of-way acquisition takes place. And finally, the project goes to construction, and that's where all the magic happens, and you get to see a project come to life. So the following list is some of our active projects which are currently in final design and or construction. And I'd like to point out the projects which are currently in construction first. That includes 9099, which is the crosswalk at, it's the PHB crosswalk improvements at Cayo Real at the Fairview Center. This one's currently in construction right now. Also, we have the 9067 Glida Community Center improvements. This is the seismic improvement project. We have some other projects which are ready to begin construction in the next month, and that includes 9007, the San Jose Creek Bike Path Middle Extent. This is the portion of the path that extends from Johnny D. Wallace Park to Armitos, and this project is being coupled with 9084, the community garden project. So those two are in the same location and will be constructed together. And then also along with those, we will be constructing phase two for Johnny D. Wallace Park, the splash pad. That should start construction in the next month, in June, we're looking at. A couple other big projects, is the 9002 Echo Fowler Extension Hollister Roundabouts and 9033, the Hollister Avenue Bridge, which is the largest project in the city's history. Those two projects have been coupled together for construction, and they will be going out to bid in the next couple months, with construction beginning a little bit later this year. And then on this list, we do have some projects which are in final design and would be going to construction later this year. It includes the Stork Hollister Avenue Transit Bike Pedded Median Improvement Project, the Hollister Class 1 Bike Path Lighting, and then also the Goleta Train Depot is in final design. Next slide. And another one, which is in this list, which will be going to construction in the next couple months, is the Hollister Avenue Old Town Interim Striping Project. And that is the one which will add the Class 2 bike lanes through Old Town Hollister. And then I just wanted to mention, we also have our annual pavement rehabilitation project, which goes on every year, as well as our concrete repair program. Next. This next list shows some of the projects which are in earlier phases, conceptual design, or in beginning the design phase. And the biggest project on this list is the San Jose Creek Bike Path, northern and southern segments. We are well into design on this project and also in the right-of-way acquisition phase. We plan to finish design and right-of-way this year and then get things ready to start construction in 2024. Couple other projects on this list, the long-awaited Cathedral Oaks crib wall repair project. We're beginning conceptual design, and that's going to be, that's starting now, actually, as well as 9083 traffic signal upgrades. This is a HSIP grant project, and we just are ready to award a design contract to our consultant, and we'll begin the conceptual design on that project in the next coming months as well. And then a couple others to mention, we have the Matilda Park improvements. This is a neighborhood services project, and again, this is in final design and getting ready to go to construction. Next one. And then a couple of projects on this list. These are projects that haven't quite yet begun conceptual design. Pointing out a new signal at Fairview and Stowe Canyon Road and improvements to that intersection, as well as the installation of a new rapid flashing beacon at Kyrial and Jenna. In addition to projects that have carried over from the last fiscal year, we do have some new projects added to the CIP for this coming fiscal year 23-24. And that includes several projects from general services, such as improvements to the Goleta Community Center campus refresh, community center gazebo area improvements, and improvements to the parking lot at the community center. And then we also have, we're going to begin looking at the replacement of the Los Caneros footbridge. The first phase would be demolition of the existing bridge and then working with our open space manager and the Lake Los Caneros master plan, develop a strategy for replacement. And then we also have ADA improvement sidewalk infill project on here, which is Hollister Avenue sidewalk improvement at Elwood School. And then finally, some of the projects which were completed in the last fiscal year include the rectangular rapid flashing beacons at school crosswalks along Cathedral Oaks, as well as completion of our LED street lighting program project, and the Goleta traffic safety study, which is a important study It included a local road safety plan, which is required by many grant programs for getting grants. And it's a first step leading into Vision Zero as well. So that was an important one to get completed. And that ends my kind of brief review of some of the projects. I'm sure there'll be questions. So I'll pass it back to Andy.
Thanks, and just a final word. So again, the recommendation from staff tonight is to adopt the resolution that's attached to the staff report as attachment one, and this is a critical step for the CIP budget approval process. So the primarily public work staff, but the CIP team can move forward to council for that budget review and approval. And the crux of the resolution is to determine that the projects as presented are consistent and in conformance with the general plan. And we are certainly happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great, thank you so much for that informative presentation. Do we have questions from commissioners? Any questions? No questions.
I guess I have one
question.
So yes. I remember in the past we had debate about what we were approving, like which part of the list. Is this the complete list? Like we're approving everything, even the new things that are TBD?
Commissioner Fullerton, yes, this is the complete list. I think in the past what we had was we also listed some future projects that weren't included in the annual work program, but this list is consistent with the annual work program and this fiscal year's five-year budget.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, if there are no questions from commissioners, let's see, do we open for public comment at this time? So I guess next we'll move on to public comment. Do we have any requests to speak?
I don't have any speaker slips. If there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand. And Commissioner Chapman, one more time, if there are any members of the public who wish to speak in your room, please let us know. And I don't have any hands raised at this time. And Commissioner Chapman is shaking his head, so I think that means there's no speakers.
Yep, there's still nobody here.
Okay. Well, with that, I'll close the public comment portion, and then I'll move to comments from commissioners, comments or deliberation. Commissioner Maynard.
I'm just going to share an appreciation that every time I go over the capital improvements program, I'm always impressed at how well the CIP reflects our values as a community. And so I see lots of great opportunities to support bicycle infrastructure, community gardens, community centers and parks. And it just really shows all the things that we've really treasured, I think, as a community. And it's so well integrated all the way through our projects. And so I'm just always inspired looking at this list. And it's clear how much work is being done by the city and how much amazing grant writing y'all are doing. And so I'm just very, very impressed.
Thank you. Commissioner Fullerton.
Yeah, I just want to echo that. I know there are always some people that maybe complain a little bit, like, why isn't this done or this done? But I see when I go out and about so many great things the city has done all the time, and I look at this project list, and every year, the last few years, you know, we see what's been completed, we see what's being planned, and like Commissioner Maynard said, it's a good cross-reference. It's infrastructure and it's little things to make the city better. So I appreciate everything that everybody's doing, and I support approving the list.
Thank you. Any other comments from other commissioners? Commissioner Chapman.
Thank you. I would like to join in heaping praise with everyone. I do think that this does kind of reflect our values, and especially as they evolve as a city while still being consistent with the plans that we laid out. I do have one project that I would like to flag that I did ask staff about, and that was project 9062, and it's not listed, but I had asked, and I would like to flag the question of, does this conform with traffic element 10.5, which is pedestrian safety. You know, this is a tricky interchange. This is at Hollister and Stork. And I just wanted to make sure that this does also support the efforts to, you know, make intersections safer for pedestrians as we laid out. And if staff could elaborate on that a bit, how this project supports that element of our general plan.
Chair Smith, Commissioner Chapman, I can add some information to that. So the project overall does help improve operations, and particularly the stretch between Hollister and Marketplace. So just some information, the project will remove the bus stop, which is just south of Hollister in front of the Marketplace, and then it's going to combine it with the existing bus stop that is just to the south of Marketplace, in front of where the Home Depot is, I guess, if you would. So by removing that bus stop from that location and combining it into one, we're cleaning up the operations in there, so we're able to lengthen the right turn pocket into the Marketplace, and also it helps clean up some of the confusion with the two bus stops. What we had seen happening is people that wanted to use that bus stop, which is closer to Hollister, rather than crossing at one of the existing signalized crosswalks, they would like just cut across Stork Road, which is not the safest thing to do. So by removing that bus stop and combining them, we are eliminating that unsafe behavior. Also, the project will widen sidewalks, and then in that stretch between Hollister and Marketplace, we're pushing the sidewalk further away from traffic, because now we have more room there by getting rid of that bus stop. So there'll be a bit of a buffer between the sidewalk and the traffic lanes. The project will also include some restriping to the crosswalks there. So it will just help improve operations overall to pedestrians. And then there will also be improvements to the bike lanes, adding green lane striping through that area to make them more visible. And one other improvement that is going to happen with the project, if you're going northbound on Stork and you're going to head eastbound on Hollister, that turn lane is a combination through right turn lane, which has a tendency to back up during heavy traffic times, sometimes not even during heavy traffic times. And it causes interference with the transit stop on that side of Stork, where the Chipotle is, I guess, in that area. And so that will become a right turn only, which seems to operate a little bit better and keep that lane flowing. So there are a lot of operational improvements that'll benefit all users, bicycles, pedestrians, as well as traffic operations.
Thank you very much. Whoops, that's all I have.
Great, thank you. And thank you for that information. Yes, I just wanted to share, I frequently intersect at the Stork and Hollister intersection because of where I live. So I'm always really happy to see any improvement in that general region on the list. And I was just, you know, thinking it's been an interesting few years, and just reflecting on wondering how changes in work patterns are influencing changes in traffic or not. It's just interesting to think about. And then I was also pleased to see it, you know, obviously it seems very logical because of, you know, work that's already happening on the Goleta Valley Community Center that, you know, if there's other aspects, other projects to be also included in that effort, it makes sense to tackle that all at once. So that looked, you know, really logical in terms of looking at this list. Also pleased to see more about the sidewalk improvement at Hollister School and then the Hollister bike path lighting. All seems really wonderful. And then it's really great to hear about the safety study. And then also even just seeing just Vision Zero conceptually on this list. Because at least on my end is not, I'm not a planner or an engineer, but reading more recently about all of the data about pedestrian deaths really increasing in the last 10 years or 10 or 15 years or so, generally across the nation. It contradicts what you think. You think technology should be improving safety, and as cars get, you know, better design, you think things are safer, but the overall data is showing otherwise. So again, that's sort of very, very broadly, and it seems to be issues, maybe a combination of distracted driving and, but also, and then even vehicle design being a contributing factor with the way, if an SUV hits a pedestrian, that has a different impact than if a sedan hits a pedestrian. And so it's just very surprising to see those trends happening. So I'm really glad to see that the city is, even if that trend wasn't happening, it's an important issue. But knowing that that trend is happening on a bigger scale, I think it's important to, you know, continue to evaluate and look at, I mean, certainly safety for those in vehicles, for those on bicycles, and then for those who are pedestrians. But obviously, you're, as a pedestrian and or a cyclist, you're quite vulnerable. And so I think it's really important for that to continue to be looked at, and certainly furthers all the general safety, pedestrian safety, cyclist safety, goals that are in our general plan. And just separately, I would also just enjoy maybe another time learning more about that, because it's just been really interesting for me to learn about those issues more broadly, and how we can tackle those as a city. But yeah, it's really, I know it's hard because it's always easier for the public to see what's not being done, but wow, when I think about the Equil project, I think has been talked about since maybe even before the city existed. So it's really exciting to just actually see this happening. The train depot. I frequently take Amtrak to go visit family in San Diego, so I'm really excited to see that move forward. And then certainly, everybody on the west side is looking forward to having the services of Fire Station 10. That's for sure. Also a long time coming. So just very, very exciting. Any other comments? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To adopt resolution number 23- entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, finding the fiscal year 2023-2024 capital improvement program is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan, Coastal Land Use Plan, pursuant to Section 65401 of the Government Code, and finding the determination to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act.
I'll second.
Wonderful. Any further discussion? No? Okay, and then I believe we will take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Chapman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Aye.
And Chair Smith?
Aye. All right. The motion passes 4-0. Okay. Well, thank you to staff, and thank you to the Public Works Department for being here today. For all of, I think, you know, this report was very well prepared, and thank you for sharing all this information with us. Okay, we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is usually our planning director comments, and so we have Ms. Prossy filling in today.
Yeah, well, thank you. Just a few things. We likely will not have a second Planning Commission meeting this month, so stay tuned for a cancellation. However, you're not quite off the hook, because on June 1st, there is Brown Hack training at 5:30. I think it's 5:30. In here, and there will be food. So, this is a training. I think we do this kind of annually. Every couple of years. Planning Commission, DRB, the Historic Preservation Commission, Council, PTAC, you name it, everybody's been invited. So 5:30 here on June 1st. In June, we in current planning are working on an item to come before you. Which would be the Stork Medical project, which is located, if you've seen the story polls up on Stork and Santa Felicia, it is that project. The item is going to DRB, not tomorrow, but in 2 weeks. So depending on how that review goes, depends on, if they have additional comments, we won't be coming to you in June, but anyway, if things line up, it's possible that could be on your agenda later in June. If not, it'll be sometime this summer. So that is an up-and-coming project. Then the other thing I just want to bring to your attention, that we have started the environmental review on the SciWest industrial project. That's like a 72,000 square foot warehouse building proposed on South Kellogg. It's the old drive-in theater site. We are doing an environmental impact report on that project, and the first step in that process is the notice of preparation, which the notice of preparation circulates for 30 days. It's an opportunity for the public and for any responsible agencies and state agencies to make sure that the EIR is covering all the appropriate topics. And in this case, there's really like three that we aren't studying, which would be mineral resources, ag, and maybe wildfire, because it's not near the wildland urban interface. So everything else that you see in the CEQA checklist is being analyzed in the EIR. So anyway, we are holding, I bring all that up because we are holding, during this the notice of preparation period, we hold a scoping hearing to give the public an opportunity to comment if they think if we've dialed in the right topics. And that will be in this room on May 17th at 5 p.m. It is a meeting that will not be broadcast, but people can participate via the Zoom link. And that is posted. We have the environmental hearing officer agenda already up at least on the CEQA page. I'm thinking it's also linked on the 17th. I should have checked. But it is on the Environmental Hearing Officer agenda, the link to access that meeting if people are interested. So I think with that, that's pretty much all I have to report.
Great. Thank you for the update. Next, we have Planning Commission comments. Any commissioner comments at this time? I see none. So we will again then move to adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn our meeting?
A motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
A second.
I have a motion and a second. And then we'll do a roll call vote for adjournment.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Aye.
Commissioner Chapman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Aye.
And Chair Smith?
Aye. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.